This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with... Oh, you know what? I should put your mic on, shouldn't I? Should we try that again?
Yeah.
And I'm in the studio with...
Arvin Yubaraj.
There we go. Okay, so we
and
always...
And also Christine Wong.
And Christine Wong.
You know, I'm just sitting here waiting.
A little bit
that's
befuddled.
Fine.
It's something to do with my age, clearly, which leads on to our topic of the day. We posted something a little bit earlier on Twitter about whether or not we should give the kids a chance. Essentially, you know, how much faith do you have in the younger generation to make our society better? People didn't even think it was a legitimate question. But we will address that very shortly and we'll tell you all about that. So that is story number one. Story number two, how to remember your whole life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Fun Friday. Story number three, somebody actually paid $432,500 for a portrait that was produced by a non-human.
Yeah, by a computer.
By a computer, mm-hmm. Indeed. And then we'll be wrapping up with a little piece of news to take into the weekend. It's just a tip. It's not real life. How to win the lottery. I'll leave you with that. Anyway, so let's start off with... okay, so I posted that question.
Yes.
We had some feedback immediately. You know, is this a real question? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Why, Chris?
Okay, well, for a little bit more context on why we're talking about this today, this is actually from an article on Fast Company that addresses this kid called David Hogg. He's one of the most prominent of the students who is an activist who helped start the anti-gun violence movement March for Our Lives after surviving the shooting at Florida's Stoneman Douglas High School. And he's been on TVs, he's been at rallies across the country, he's been on various news channels and stuff like that, you know. But one thing that he mentioned in his talk recently was that he says his biggest obstacle is not because of his ideas, it's because of his age. Mm. People, he says, quote, "People doubt us so much just because of our age. It's disheartening and it's sad when I'm trying to work with different people in different fields and they just write me off because I'm a young person. To send email after email after email and not get replied to because people are like, this kid is an idiot and doesn't know what he's talking about."
Right. He, I know he said this other thing as well. He said that young people need to just push through adults who aren't listening and build their own power.
Yeah.
Empowerment is not something given to you. It's something you give yourself.
Mm-hmm. And so basically that kind of idea of, you know, I guess people underestimating the younger generation and the younger generation feeling like they want to do so much and to help society and feeling like they're not able to do that because of their age is why we decided to talk about this today.
Right. I mean, these are the kids that are going to grow up to be voters, policymakers, you know, and they're going to be like David in that position to challenge leaders who don't listen to them.
Yeah. And the reason why I specifically wanted to talk about this is because, hello, I'm a young person.
What, define young for me.
Okay. So for me, basically, young is kind of like, I guess, under 30.
There's a whole bunch of people out there going, ooh, Christine.
No, but basically it's the people that people consider either millennials or Gen Z, kind of both those generations, I think. More so Gen Z than not. And I'm kind of on the weird, awkward cusp of Gen Z and millennial, so I've been told, right? And it's also something I've experienced. You know, coming and working here, it's not that people underestimate me so much or people have patronized me, but it's more that, you know, I'll get the occasional, oh, wow, like, you know, you're already at BFM, but like, how old are you? Like, as if it matters, right? When, as long as I can do my job, surely that should be the main thing. And you know, and one thing that I've also noticed is that people in kind of my generation and below have been very vocal, even here in Malaysia, about voting, about you know, learning more about politics, about learning more about the world, about trying to make a difference. And so,
biggest voter drive ever in the US last November 25th, I think.
Yeah. I think the 18 to 25 demographic was like the main kind, like a really, really main increase in voters as well in the US. So that's really why I think we wanted to ask this question, like, how much faith do people have in people like me?
I want to move this question over to Arvin, who's neither a young person nor an old person.
Somewhere
in between. where do you stand on this, Arv?
Elder millennial, that's the term.
Elder millennial. Is that a term now?
Yeah. It is. I think some people have like coined it. I don't know. I like it. but yeah, so you know what's interesting is that the millennial, like the full-blown millennials, they were having a tough time with the older generation. So when they came in, they were scrutinized, or we were scrutinized, and there was a lot of new things that we brought into the workforce that was not accepted by the people who were there before.
Yeah.
So a lot of the...
Give me an example.
Okay, so let's say like millennials have this thing where they're not so concerned about money that you earn. They want more happiness at their job. So they go okay, for, you know, yeah. So you change it. Like the whole open office structure, co-working spaces and stuff all came in with the millennials.
Perks.
Yeah. Okay. Perks, travel expenses, you know, they want to have more time off and
stuff. Co-working spaces even.
Yeah, co-working spaces. Work-life balance was something that came up, became like super popular when millennials started working. So these were things that didn't jive so well with the generation before. But now you're seeing that slowly people are slowly accepting it and it's becoming like the norm, right? Everyone wants like an open office or open concept office and stuff. But just as the millennials are establishing what they work so hard to get, now a new generation is coming in and there's going to be like some sort of like, you know, there's going to be a clash. So what I'm saying is by the time young people, like quote unquote, get to do what they've set out to do,
they're no longer going to be young.
Yeah, they know. Yeah, it's they've passed their, you know, I wouldn't say their prime, but it's been like it takes them like 10 years and then now a new generation comes in and it's not right for you to sort of stifle them. Mm. But it's also then you don't exactly get to do what you wanted to do in the first place.
Mm. Right. But I think that's kind of why people need to start listening to younger people now. You know what I mean? And kind of break that cycle of, you know, by the time you want to actually. Sorry, by the time that you're able to make a change in whatever area of society that you want to change, it's kind of too late in a sense, and you're already being eclipsed by the new generation. So, I think that, you know, that's why we need to actually start listening to younger people, and you know, it's important.
Do you think that there's also going to be a kind of cultural clash with this as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Especially here in Southeast Asia as well. You have the whole, you know, you should listen to your elder generation. Yeah. You should listen to what they say. And my response to that is just because you're old does not mean you're right.
And I think there's definitely and at least for me, and I don't know about anyone else. This is just my personal experience. I think a lot of the kind of politicized movement that's happening is attributed, especially in Malaysia, to kids being westernized, which is technically true. Just because, you know, I think people who are westernized or people who are a bit more exposed to other cultures than just Malaysian cultures can kind of have a more holistic view of, for example, why it's so important to vote, as opposed to just kind of floating along and being like, okay, whatever.
I mean, and it's going to affect business moving forward. You know, it's going to affect the kind of businesses that we see and the type of employees who want to come into those businesses. Like you say, Arv, you know, these I don't like using millennials, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, people who are younger than me, who are coming into the workplace for the first time, they have a certain set of expectations, and whether or not those expectations are met will determine how successful that company is.
Yeah.
I would assume.
Yeah, and I think also companies need to sort of like empower different groups of people. Like some companies want to be so young that they don't have anyone above the age of 45 working for them. So you lose out on experience. So when they go through like a crisis. They have no one who's ever been through a crisis ever in their working life, and they sort of like collapse on them on themselves.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of radio stations here in Malaysia that will not employ you to be on air if you are over a certain age.
Even if you're, you know, you're borderlining on that age, you have to pretend like you're 15 or 16 or 18 or 21.
Gotcha.
Well, yeah, I mean what I also feel is that basically the kind of crux of our conversation is that age shouldn't be a barrier to how much you know or how much you're taken seriously.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, if your opinions are valid.
Yeah, you know, as long as you can kind of, as long as you want to have that conversation, talk about it, learn new things, that shouldn't be the obstacle to people. You know, people shouldn't be like, oh my God, but like, you're so young, or like, you're so old. It's like, why does that matter?
Right.
I think it's also, it boils down to, you know, people pretending to know stuff that they don't know about. Like, for example, if you have someone who wants to go like on like a bigger social media presence, you should give it to people who use social media more than you do. But you see a lot of people coming in like 5 years after the word YOLO and still use the word YOLO, and you see a lot of companies do this. So obviously someone who's not in that age bracket is trying to connect with a consumer base or like a bunch of customers that they don't understand,
a demographic that's already moved on.
You empower the people who know how to use these tools to use these tools, and then you trust them to use that. So that's another, you know, another way to do it.
Alright, so I hope that clears up some of your questions for people who've been tweeting in earlier on. That's how we're framing the question. You know, should we give the kids a chance? It's probably not the best way of asking the question, but that's what we're saying essentially. You know, how much trust do you have in the next generation to move society forward? You know, how much of a voice do you think they should have? Do they have enough of a voice? I think it is probably a better question. Let us know. Get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. On Twitter or on Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. We do have some tweets. We do have some WhatsApp messages we will get to after our short music. music break. We've got some Queens of the Stone Age up next with Gonna Leave You. We'll be back in just a few minutes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.